Hello, I'm Daniel Gregory, and welcome to another episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I hope you are doing well and getting a chance to get out there and make some amazing photos. This week, I wanted to talk about something that keeps coming up for me over and over again. I get asked a lot what makes a good photograph. This week, I did not want to talk about what necessarily makes a good photograph because we end up in some kind of ambiguous spaces around composition and meaning and intention. But that question, though, that keeps coming up of what makes a good photograph led me to think really about what makes a photograph. What actually makes the photograph, what makes the photograph unique, what hallmarks the photograph as its own thing. And I think when we distill photography down to its bare essence, we get rid of the idea of megapixels, we get rid of the idea of sensors and developers and paper types and ink and all sorts of variables that have come together to make the photograph. At the core of the photograph are two things. There's light and time. There are a lot of writers and books and photographers who've talked about the importance of light and time, but John Berger in his book, Understanding a Photograph, talks about light and time, the history around that notion, and also introduces ambiguity. So it's those elements are what I wanted to bring together today to really focus on for this week's podcast. I mean, by its own definition, by the own creation of the work, it's painting with light. So without light, we don't have photography. And we work really hard to control that light, to shape that light, to experience that light, to see that light, to position that light, to really allow us to create meaning in our photographs. It's how we share and represent light and the position of light to dark that really impacts how we see and feel and experience a photograph. If you go into a completely dark room, devoid of any light, and take a photograph, there is nothing there for it to see. So on one level, we need that quality of light. We need light to exist to create the photograph. And on the other hand, we need to have time. And this is probably one of the great pieces of photography that for me doesn't get the right amount of focus or conversation. Sure, time is a core element to the actual creation of the photograph. We're dealing with fractions of a second. We're dealing with an extension or compression of time. However, there's some other things that time is critical for and that time does in a way with a photograph that's distinct from other things we experience in life. For example, if you take your memory in many ways is a combination of your senses, sight, taste, smell, touch, and time. At a moment in time, you experience something. You go to a bakery in France and you smell something cooking. It's a moment in time. It's a moment of experience. It's also combined with your sense of taste and smell, say. Or you see something. You go and you see something in nature. Or you see something in your newborn child or something, and you kind of lock that in, and it's a moment of time that you're remembering. But in terms of the actual existence of time, memories are a residual effect. There's something that's created, and it's not an actual, tangible, exact copy of the event. And with time, it becomes really malleable. That residual fades and changes, and what really happened or what really occurred may or may not be the actual facts that occurred. And it really doesn't matter. The grand scheme of things, it probably doesn't matter if we remember the exactness of everything we experience. But that idea that in our memory is this notion of time, but it's a distant fragment of time. Where the photograph is excluded from time, it's pulled out of, it's discontinuous to time. And so if you think about your memory or you think about time as a straight line, you know, your memory is going to go along that straight line. The experience of actual time goes along that straight line. And the photograph is a fragment that's pulled out of that time. It becomes discontinuous to the timeline. And because it's disconnected, it represents something else. It represents the possibility of something that happened in that moment as the fragment is pulled. I think that's something that's important in our thinking about and understanding our work is to pull those disconnections apart. As I've talked many times, that a photograph doesn't have any memory because I don't have any association to that. So when I look at one of your photographs or I look at a photograph I didn't create, I don't have any preconceived memory. I don't have any of that residual to put into the photograph to give it meaning, which can be great. It can mean that I don't overly emotionally connect to an unflattering or a not very good photograph. And at the same time, I might miss some context that's not available to me because I didn't create the photograph. When the photograph, however, is disconnected from time, what that does is create an independent object. It creates something separate, something distinct in the experience that says this has been pulled out of the timeline. And obviously, the length of the exposure will dictate how much of that timeline has been fragmented or has been disconnected from. And one of the things that I think that those two distinctions are important, and the idea that a photograph is a distinct pull of time, it's a disconnection from the actual timeline, is important, is that context and meaning are things that we develop over time. So our understanding of the world, our understanding of a photograph are developed over time. They're developed over a longer period than the actual photograph took to create. As we think about how we look at the photograph, at the core, the photographer ultimately decides how we experience that photograph. Now, we may not experience it in the way that the photographer would like us to experience the photograph. I take a photograph that I think is warm and cozy and almost huggable, and you look at it and think it's a stark contrast, it invokes some kind of negative emotion in you. Those are not the same experience, but ultimately my decisions and how I create the photograph dictate how we respond to the photograph. If I don't create those, we don't respond. If I don't create the photograph, we can't respond. So how things resonate with us come out of us as photographers through our understanding of the world, context, empathy, all sorts of different elements pulled together. That context becomes important because as we think about the fragmentation of a photograph, starting to understand context, and I don't mean context in necessarily how the photograph was created, but context in how we are relating to the photograph. How did we ascribe meaning to that? Where did our belief system come from? How did we overlay what we think the photograph is about? All of that is really important because photographs by nature are highly ambiguous. So even though they're about the light that existed, the actual moment of time that's fragmented, and we can look into a photograph and oftentimes, not in every case, but in many cases, we can identify objects, places, people, things in context of the photograph is ambiguous. We could look at a photograph and not know if it was taken 100 years ago or if it was created and taken today. We could look at a photograph and not know anything about the person and start to make assumptions about who that person is in a portrait. The ambiguity of the photograph is, in many ways, one of the things that holds our interest, our desire to understand more about the image, more about the photograph through looking, through seeing, through experiencing. And I think that's also important for us to remember is that when we look at a photograph, that we are dealing with the resolution of that ambiguity. So much like we're trying to deal with this residual notion of memory not being 100% accurate, the photograph being disconnected from time also not necessarily being 100% accurate ever in the creation of a photograph, even though for over 100 years we believe photographs to be true, those two things pulled apart and living in different parts of the world add to that ambiguity. Now, I think one of the things that's amazing about photography is since its inception, photography has been about capturing light. It was born out of a time of in the study of history of positivism when we believed we were moving out of kind of dark ages, metaphysical kind of things and moving into science. We were moving into that we could find a rational explanation for things. We could, if we understood things, we would, at the lowest level, we would have all the answers and solve all of society's ills and begotten issues. And I think over time, one of the things that photography has done, because it's been born out of that period in history, it's evolved and changed throughout that period in history, and yet it's grounded in its roots of wanting some level of fidelity to what is in front of the camera. As we deal with that different aspect, as we deal with what the camera was created for and how it's used today, we recognize that there's a certain magic to photography and that it's able to morph and change and evolve over time and allow us to continue to see this amazing split in all the different ways that time can be sliced and fragmented or extended, and how much it can push our memory, just like that smell out of a bakery. It can invoke in us an emotion and a response we didn't anticipate before. So there is something magic in that art of photography. There is something magic in its ability to understand time in a way that is different in how our brain and society think about time. And while as photographers, we do ultimately set that context, the other magic of photography and the other magic of this ambiguity against time is that as we change, as we evolve, we look back at our photographs, we look back at photographs of significance from history or from certain photographer artists or in our own family, and we're able to change our understanding and identify the photograph as being something more or less than we thought it was before, because context is also not bound by time. Our understanding of what something is and what something was and how it can be valuable or not today is also built on the power of photography's ability to let us have a capture of light and time overlaid on top of that ambiguity to become something more and different each and every day. So, all that being said, I think that's one of the reasons it's important to go back and look at old work. And I think it's also one of the importance to recognize the power that exists within photography. And that even the most simple photograph of going out and photographing the sunset, the sunrise, a portrait of your family, any of that, is that it's really about providing us as much tangibility in an ambiguous world to create and invoke memory, to better understand and process memory. And for those of us who are photographers, it provides us a much more tangible way of going back and looking at our work. Can we look back and deal with the ambiguity of a photograph? Or is a more ambiguous photograph a more powerful photograph? Which is one of the things for me I've been looking for in my work recently is, are the photographs that are less concrete, but not abstract? I'm not doing abstract photography, but the images that invoke a greater sense of ambiguity, are they more compelling? Are they more interesting to look at? So I would encourage you to go back in your own work and start to think about the notion of how time and light, how you define context, and how you deal with ambiguity, how those four elements swirl in your own work, to see if you can come up with some new and interesting ways to think about the editing and processing of your photographs, the creation of your work, or how you relate to the work of others. I hope you have a wonderful week. Get out there and make some photographs, even if it's just dumb photographs. Also, take some time to sit there and ponder what it's like to have the world go by. Think about how time influences your work. Think about how you experience time and why is it sometimes it feels like there's not enough and other times it feels like it drones on forever. Because whether you're in line for 30 minutes at the DMV or you're 30 minutes hanging out with a friend you haven't seen in years, one may drag on, one may seem too short, but they're both 30 minutes. So think about how you relate and deal with time and why time seems to be different. And I think you'll find that might really make a difference in your photography. Don't forget, you can always find us up on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play, Spotify, all the places podcasts are found. Any reviews or rankings up there would be great. That's actually, it turns out, how iTunes and those Yahoos pass that information along so other people can find the podcast. So if you find it valuable, that would be great. I really do appreciate you listening. It does mean the world to me to know that you're out there, and have a great day.